Go ahead and be turning to John chapter number 3. John chapter 3. If you've got a continue book, I guess you could turn to page 226, but I don't think we'll really be in it today.
No. It's hard to tell what all you'll find written there.
I think I gave it to her and she gave it back. I don't know.
John chapter 3?
Yeah, John chapter 3. And we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessings on our services today. And then we will dive into our study today. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you so much for your blessings. And we do thank you for the day that you've given us. Lord, we thank you for this time that we have to be in church. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful weather this morning, Lord, and just the wonder of your creation as we're seeing everything blooming and the trees budding and just the beauty surrounding us, Lord. And it's just great, Lord. I appreciate all the seasons, Lord, but it's just good to see things coming back to life, Lord. We just pray, Lord, ask you just to be with us this morning, Lord. And I just pray that you just breathe life into us, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that you would just encourage those that may be discouraged, Lord. Help those that may be struggling, Lord. And, Lord, just increase and grow those, Lord, that are just seeking to serve you more, Lord. We just pray, Lord, ask you that you just guide and direct me as I teach today. Just give me clarity of thought, clarity of speech, Lord. Help me to say the things that are needful and helpful and accurate. I ask you, Lord, that you please be with the Sunday school teachers. They'll be going back here whenever the children arrive, Lord. I just pray that you would be with those classes, Lord. I just pray help those teachers to have wisdom and understanding to be able to just pour your word into these young minds, Lord, and these young hearts, Lord, that they would learn about you, they would come to know you, Lord, and that they put their faith and trust in you at a young age, Lord, and allow you to just shape their lives, Lord. We just pray, Lord, ask you to be with those who aren't able to be with us this morning. I know there's some that are working, some that are sick, Lord. I just pray that you be with each of them, some that are traveling, that you watch over them, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for your love, for your mercy. Thank you most of all, Lord, for your shed blood and for salvation. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, for several weeks now, I haven't kept track. I've kind of lost count on this. But for several weeks, we've been looking at stewardship. And we began with the idea of financial stewardship in the continue book. And I really haven't stuck with the script at all on this. And I took this idea and we kind of expanded on it because I see it more as stewardship of life rather than stewardship of finances. Finances might be an indicator, if you will. How we view the material things has, it says a lot about our overall spiritual health. It shows, as the scripture says, where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Yeah. And so as we have looked at this over the past several weeks, my goal has just been to kind of untangle some of the false teachings and some of the stresses and some of the things surrounding stewardship, surrounding finances, surrounding our service toward our Savior, I guess I could say. And hopefully it has been helpful. If you've missed any of the lessons, they almost all of them are online now, and so you can go back and listen to those. But anyway, we have started out with understanding that all that we have and all that we are belongs to God, even ourselves. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, in the first verses there, that we are not our own, we are bought with a price, and we're to glorify God with ourselves. And so all that we are, all that we have belongs to him. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above. And so whenever we look at all that God has given us, he has given it to us as stewards. It doesn't belong to us. We are stewards or managers of God's blessings. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And so we are managers of God's blessings. We are stewards of God's blessings. And we can use it for our good and for his glory.
Right.
And that is where the most satisfying and the most successful life is going to be, is whenever we see ourselves as stewards, whenever we are managing God's assets for eternal purposes. Okay? And so through our study, we found that we should see this as an opportunity and not an obligation. I've tried to reinforce that over and over again, because oftentimes this is brought out as being an obligation. You must do this or else God's going to be mad at you. You must do this or God's going to punish you. If you don't do this, then this is going to happen. And it becomes very heavy. It becomes very burdensome. It becomes very oppressive, I guess I could say. And that is not what our relationship with God is meant to be. We relate to God in faith. We are coming to Him, trusting Him for who He is, for His goodness. We are trusting Him because of the very fact that we are saved by grace, that we don't merit His goodness. We don't merit His favor. We don't merit anything from Him, but rather we come to Him because He is good, right? And so that kind of takes away a lot of the pressure and things, and instead it enables us to serve Him and to give out of love and out of gratitude, mm-hmm. out of faith, knowing that He's going to take care of us. So anyway, let's see. So when we give, we have assurance that God will take care of our things when we take care of the things of God. Mm-hmm. And we saw that in the past. We also saw that godly stewarding brings eternal rewards. The things that we do on this earth can have everlasting rewards, everlasting benefits. And then not only will God repay, He does so generously. He doesn't do it in accordance with what we give. He gives beyond what we give. And I gave the illustration that we give to God with a spoonful. He gives back with a shovel, right?
Right.
And remember, I'm not just talking about financial stuff here.
Right.
I want to keep going back to that, that a lot of people are like, oh, give. He's talking about money. Give money to the church. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about giving of ourselves to God. And that's what we're looking at. And so the more of you that God has, the more God is able to do in you and through you.
Right.
And what we are prone to do is we hold back ourselves and we say, this is my life. This is for me to decide. The things that I have, the talents that I have, my time, my money, my house, my car, my stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And whenever we see our life as that way and we are just pulling it to ourselves, we are actually taking God out of the equation. God's saying, okay, I'll let you have all those things, but you're going to miss out on what could happen if you would allow me to have possession of you and everything that you have.
Right.
That makes sense to everybody.
Yes.
Okay. And so today I want to take a very familiar passage of scripture and show the practicality of giving. So last week it was the rewards of giving. Okay. We looked and saw what God does in response to our giving. Mm-hmm. But today I want to just kind of make it practical and help us see how it is meant to work. And so I had you to turn to John chapter number 3. And this is probably not the verse that you're familiar with or that you would typically associate with our topic, but it was one that stuck out to me. But John 3 and verse 16, okay? John 3 and 16, we can probably all quote it, right? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the reason I bring this out in this idea of giving is the association that is drawn here in this passage between love and giving. For God so loved that He gave. And so you will give to that which you love. You will give of yourself to that which you love. You love your spouse, you are going to give your time, you're going to give your attention, you're going to give of your finances, you are going to give of your talents, you are going to give of yourself to that person whenever you love them. And if you aren't giving, it's a sign that you aren't loving because they are inseparable.
Right.
We see this all the way through scripture that whenever someone loves, they give. Okay. And I've heard it said many times, you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving.
Right.
That's just the way it goes. It goes hand in hand. And I've brought out even in this study that people will even put themselves into hardship giving to those they love. How many people go into debt for their children for a holiday or for Christmas or for something like that? They go into debt for that. And they're like the rest of the year trying to dig themselves back out of the debt just so they can give mm-hmm. to their children, so that they can give to their spouse, right? And so people will give to that which they love.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this pattern with God. And so God so loved the world that he gave. And his gift that he gave, coming down to this earth to bleed and die, to forgive our sins, to save our souls, that was his showing of his love for us. It says that he manifests, he made known his love for us, that when we were yet sinners, he died for us, right? Mm-hmm. And so with that, it is exhibiting his love. It is, I don't know, I'm wanting to say something a little bit more profound, but I don't have the mental capacity, okay? So anyway, with what Jesus did on the cross, it was basically him telling us, this is how much I love you. I am willing to give everything. Our salvation costs us nothing. It costs heaven everything. Okay? And it's because he loves us. And so anyway, I have brought out in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We looked at this a few times already in this study. But in 2 Corinthians. I've got the right reference, but I turned to the wrong book. Okay. And in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, this is Paul telling the church at Corinth about the Macedonians, about those at Philippi in the region of Macedonia. Okay, so he's telling the church in Corinth about the churches of Macedonia, Philippi, and those ones, telling about how even though that they were impoverished, even though they didn't have a whole lot, that they were giving of themselves over and above what he ever expected, because they were taking up this offering in order to send back to the Christians, the believers in Jerusalem that were in persecution, that were in great need. So he was taking this up, and the churches there at Macedonia had given generously, okay? And he brings it back to this very idea, why did they give generously? And that is in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 5. It says, "And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord, and to us by the will of God." And so whenever we put these two things together, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love causes us to be generous. Love causes us to give, right? And then this church in Philippi, or the church in Macedonia, because of their love that they had for God, for the love that they had for the believers, because of the love they had for the work that was going on, they were willing to give, but it says that they first gave themselves to God. The Bible tells us that we love him because he first loved us. And so the churches of Macedonia got a hold of that principle. They said, look at how God loved us. Therefore, we love him. He gave himself for us, and so we're going to give of ourselves to him. By the way, as a side note, this is how marriage is supposed to work. Okay? The husband loves the wife and gives. The wife loves the husband and gives. Modern concept of marriage is I love me and I take, and I love me and I take, and then you have a fight. Okay? But anyway, that's free. But anyway, whenever we look at this example of the Macedonian believers, they gave themselves to God. Basically, they gave themselves as an offering, a sweet smelling unto God, right? They gave themselves saying, we are yours, everything that we have is yours, we gladly give to the things that please you. And because of that, Paul, we looked at this last week, because of that, Paul told them that God would supply all of their needs according to his riches and glory. Because you have given of yourself, God's going to give as well. There is a reciprocal relationship there. But anyway, I need to get back on track. So love leads to giving generously. Whenever we love God, we're going to give of ourselves to God. We give him first. And I said, God doesn't want our stuff. He wants us. And so whenever we can catch hold of the fact of how much God loves us and how much God has done for us, it makes it easy for us to surrender ourselves. As long as we are holding out and saying, God, I'm glad you saved my soul. I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but this is my life. I want to live it my way. You haven't fully understood the gospel. You haven't fully understood what God has done for you. And so God has a desire to work in you. He has a desire to work through you. He can do great, marvelous things whenever we surrender our lives to Him, whenever we give ourselves first to Him. Okay? I already brought out the passage in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21 that says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There is this tie, this connection between our treasures and our heart. And we see that clearly just in what I've said already, but also in every area around us. You are going to give to the things that you love. Okay? People will sacrifice to make sure they have enough time. They will sacrifice to make sure they have enough money. They'll sacrifice to make sure that they are able to give, to participate in the things that they love. Okay, and that's in all areas of society. If a man loves golf, guess what? He's going to surrender. He's going to sacrifice. He's going to make sure that he's able to go out and play a round of golf. He's going to spend a great amount of money on the clubs. He's going to spend money on the tee time. He's going to spend money on all of these different things so he can go out and chase a ball around on a field. Sorry, I'm not a big fan of golf, but that came to my mind. Okay? More relatable one for me, I love cars, as everybody knows. And I've spent a lot of money on cars over the years. And I've made some, I've lost some, but it's just what I enjoy. And so I might look at one item that is extremely expensive and say, there's no way I'm paying it for that. But then a car comes along in the marketplace. It's like, oh, different story. That you give to what you love, right? And that's a silly example, but it's one that I can relate to. And so whenever we come to the things of God, as far as I know, we would all say that we trust God, that we love Him, right? And so with that, I think we would all say that we believe God's word, right? And we believe that it's true. And we put our faith in the things that it said, right? And so if we believe God's word, if we believe these things about Him, we know that God's good. We know that God is generous. We know that His work is a good investment, right? And we know that we will benefit from involvement in it. But why do we have trouble actually letting go of ourselves and letting God work in us and through us? It's always a question, isn't it? Whenever we think about the things of God and how we can give of ourselves to God, I believe there's three different categories just to make this maybe a little bit more simple, a little bit more practical. Three different areas that we can give to in the things of God. The first one, we can give in order to see Christians grow. Is that simple enough? And that means both yourself and those around you. You're giving toward Christian growth. Well, what do you give? Well, for yourself, you give of your time. I know that reading God's word is good for me. I know that it is going to increase my knowledge of Him, and as it increases my knowledge of Him, to know Him is to love Him. To love Him is to trust Him and to serve Him, to give to Him, right? So if I give of my time in reading God's word, then I'm going to grow thereby. You see how this is practical with giving? But whenever you see it as my time, you see spending time in God's word as an inconvenience. But whenever you say this is something I'm going to give in order to grow my relationship with God, different story, right? Prayer is another thing. If we see it as this is something that I must do to check off my list, if we see it as a duty, an obligation, a religious ritual, we're going to have trouble with that. But if we see it as I'm giving my time to God for my growth, for my relationship with Him, because I love Him and He is good to me, and so I want to bring my cares, my burdens, my needs to Him, and we come to Him in prayer, casting all of our care on Him because He cares for us, we are giving of our time so that we might grow for Him. Now, whenever we're talking about others as well, whenever we come as far as intercessory prayer, we come on others' behalf, we're giving our time in prayer, showing our love for God, but also showing our love for other and seeking the good of other people. So you see how time is something that we can give to God? And whenever we see God as good, as we see him generous, as we see him as capable of doing exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, whenever we see that, then we have a different perspective. And this is, I guess, what I'm seeking to do in all of this study is to change our perspective. Okay? Because the perspective that's generally presented is you have to do this because it's right. Or you have to do this because God will be mad at you if you don't. You have to do this or you're not a good Christian. That's how it's often presented, right? Bad perspective. We kind of burr up against that. We don't like that. And I think for good reason. Because it's not supposed to be an obligation. But whenever we see this as something that is done in response to what God has already done, whenever it flows out of love, when it flows out of gratitude, and whenever we see it as something that is also beneficial to us, okay, then that realigns it all. So we give of our time with prayer, with Bible study, with coming to church. It's like, oh, Sunday's my day off. I want to lay in. I want to sleep in. I don't want to fool with going to church. I don't want to go and listen to that guy all that time. Because this is my time, right? Well, whenever we look at it as giving back unto the Lord, giving of our time, right? We are saying this is more important. This is something that is going to grow in my relationship with God. This is something that's going to benefit me. And this is also an act of worship toward God, because when we give, we are showing him that he is important, that he is worth it to us, right? I've taught in the past that even the word worship comes from the words mean worth-ship, showing a quality of being worth something to you, showing value. That's what worship is. When we come to God, we are showing how valuable he is, what he is worth to us. It's assigning value. That's why it says that we're not to have any other gods before him, that he is supposed to be first and foremost. Nothing is supposed to be valued higher than him. Because if we're valuing it higher than him, we are worshiping it rather than him. We have an idol. And so back to what I was saying with coming out to church, it is an act of worship, but it is also an act of giving to God. We're giving of our time. We're giving of what we could have been sleeping, or we could have been out, out on the lake or fishing or hiking or doing something else, right? And we were saying, no, this is something that I'm going to do for God. But it's also something that we're going to do for one another as well, because whenever we come together, we are edifying and encouraging one another, right? And so you're giving of yourself to others. You're giving of yourself to God's people whenever you come out to church, but you're also gaining for yourself, because as you're coming, you are being equipped. You are being encouraged yourself. You are growing in your knowledge of God. And so with that, you are increasing in your walk with God. You're increasing in faith and understanding. You're increasing in your ability to serve him. So you see how this works together. So whenever we see God as good, when we see his calls as worthy, whenever we see the benefits as being many, then we are willing, we are desirous to give. Okay? And so we saw that we give to grow believers, both ourselves and others. And there's other ways that we can do that as well. We also give for the sake of the gospel witness. Okay? Whenever we give to... Good morning. Whenever we give to the things of God, if we give our time, we give our talents, we give our energy, we give our finances, we can be giving those so that the gospel goes forth. Right? We can be giving those so that the gospel goes forth. And... just examples here, simply in the church, okay? We do different outreaches throughout the year. We do the Paddy's Day parade outreach. That is an effort in getting the gospel out. Well, people gave to that. They brought candy. They gave of their money. They gave of their time in order to get the gospel out. They are giving to a cause they believe in. They are giving to a cause of getting the gospel out for people to know about God. Right? We've done the Christmas bag outreach. That takes money, that takes time, that takes effort, that takes people going out of their comfort zone a little bit and giving those out, different things like that. If you're passing out tracts, you're not investing anything financially, but you are investing in your time and your energy. You see, in these different ways, we can be looking at our lives and saying, I want my life to count for Jesus. I want my life to be given for his cause. And we begin looking for ways that we can give because we love him. For God so loved that he gave. And if we so love, how can we give? And we start looking for ways. And so whenever we start seeing these things that we're doing as an act of worship, an act of service to a God who is worthy, and we see it as a response to what he is doing in our lives and what he's already done for us, then we begin to grow in that, and generosity begins to increase, and we seek more ways and greater ways in order to give back to God. Is everybody on board with me so far? Does this make sense? Okay. And so for the gospel witness, that can be even, I've given the example as well as giving financially for missions, okay? Sending money to missionaries so that they can go to foreign lands and, or even not so foreign lands, to see churches established and see the gospel going out in places where there's not a gospel witness. And so there's people who give so that they may go. But you're saying, I want to see people saved. I want to see churches started. I want to see God glorified. And so I'm going to give of my time, of my talents, of my finances, of whatever God has given me so that God's purposes may be multiplied and may be increased. Okay? And so the third thing, I said growing believers, the gospel witness, and good works that glorify God. Okay? Sometimes we're just giving our time, our talents, and our resources in order to be a blessing to others. Okay? In Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, it tells about while Jesus was on this earth, he went about doing good. And if we follow Jesus' ministry, he was going about healing, he was going about helping, he was going about teaching, he was doing good works, right? We see the disciples, they were going about doing good works as well. But why were they doing that? They were doing that as a reflection of Christ. And whenever we are good, it is a reflection of the God we serve. Make sense?
Yes.
And so whenever we are giving of ourselves and we're giving of our resources, we're giving of our time to be a blessing to others, it is a reflection on the God that we serve. And a lot of times anymore, people aren't used to that. They're not used for people being good just for goodness sake. But instead, they're wondering, what's your angle? What are you after? What are you needing? Even when we were giving out the Paddy's Day bags, there were several people that was asked, do I owe you something? Are these free? They couldn't believe someone was just giving them something. Because as the saying goes today, nothing's free. Some of the most important things are. Okay? And so anyway, whenever we are just good to people for the sake of God and in the name of Christ, it is a reflection on him and it brings him glory and it is a witness to this world. Okay? Whenever we are his, the Bible says that we are the body of Christ. We are his hands. We are his feet. We are his mouthpiece. And as we go about doing good, it is a reflection on him. I'm going out of order in my notes, so I'm flipping around here a little bit. In Mark chapter number 9, verse 41, I'll go ahead and turn there. For whatever reason, as I've studied this week, my mind has been so scattered and all over the place. And so I'm just hoping that my thoughts come out in a way that makes sense to you guys. Okay. In Mark chapter 9, and verse 41, it says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And so there was the idea of someone giving in the name of Christ, and there being a reward for it. There's an association. There's another passage, I don't have it written down at the moment, but it talks about, I was a hungered and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me to drink, I was in prison and you visited me, all those things. And they said, when did we do this? And he says, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. Okay. And so that's the idea of being willing, saying, I represent God. He has been good to me. I'm going to be good to others because of what he's done for me. And that brings honor and brings glory to God. And that is a way of us giving of ourselves. And so, by the way, a lot of these things that we're looking at, it never touches your finances. It never touches your bank account. You can take, right? But you can give of yourself first and say, how can I glorify God? How can I be a blessing to others? How can I see saints growing? How can I see the lost coming to Christ? How may I be of service to the Lord? Okay? And I think a lot of times what it comes back to is that we are so hesitant to give of ourselves because we are trying to take care of ourselves. We are trusting ourselves. And so I don't have enough time because I've got to work and provide for my family. And so we're scrimping and we're working. We're doing all these different things. And our time is so taken up and so busy that we have no time to give back to God or to his work. Can y'all relate to that? But whenever we look at the Old Testament example, I don't have this in my notes, but I want to go back to think about this for just a moment. Because this is a matter of faith. Remember, you take care of the things of God, God will take care of the things of you. And so back in the Old Testament, we find that God had commanded the Israelites to keep the Sabbath. Okay? We know by the New Testament, the Sabbath had become a very oppressive thing. Because the Jews in the New Testament, then in order for them to keep the Sabbath, they were keeping all these weird rituals and rules, and it became work just to try to rest. And that sounds dumb, doesn't it? But that's what religion does to you. But what God originally intended the Sabbath to be, they were a very agricultural society. They were ones that actually had to go out and work for their daily bread, okay? And so constantly they were working, they were putting the effort in, because if they didn't work, they weren't going to eat. If they didn't go out and put forth the efforts in the fields, they wouldn't produce. And at the time of harvest, they're going to be hungry and they're going to be doing without. So they were having to go out and work every day. And so God told them, work 6 days, rest the seventh. It was meant to be a blessing, okay? Because he says you are not meant to work 24 hours, 7 days a week. Not only were they to keep take the seventh day off, he also gave the Jews three different festivals or feasts throughout the year, spread throughout the year. That was a break where they were all to travel to Jerusalem, and they were all to just get together and fellowship one with another and enjoy one another and take a break from their labors. It was meant to be like a national holiday for them, three different times during the year. Also, on the seventh year, they were supposed to take a Sabbath of years. The seventh year, cease from your labors. Don't plant your fields. Let them lie fallow. There's some agricultural principles behind that. But God is telling them that there are rhythms to life. There is needs that you have. There is a limit to your abilities, and there is a need for you to rest. And the other side of that is God says, if you will take that seventh day, if you will take those holidays, if you will take that seventh year, then I will see to it that your needs are met, that your needs are covered. Okay? Even whenever the children of Israel were in the wilderness, whenever they were trusting God for their daily bread in manna, he said on the sixth day, gather twice as much as you need. There won't be any on the seventh day, and I'll make sure that you have enough for the seventh day so that you are able to rest. Okay? This is a principle we see all the way through the Old Testament, where, yes, we labor, yes, we work, but there is a limit to that, and we do what is enough, we do what is sufficient, and trust God with the rest. Does that make sense to you guys? And so God's example there isn't work yourself into the grave, it is work yourself a sufficient amount and trust God with your labors to bring the increase that's needed. And that's a blessing, right? God says, okay, labor on your 6 days, rest on the seventh, and you won't have lack of that seventh day. You can work on that seventh day, but it will be a lot less fruitful than what it will be if you just trust me with that seventh day. You can work on that seventh year, and you can labor and you can plant your fields, but they won't produce for you in the way I can make them produce if you'll just trust for me. You see where this comes back to faith? See, God's not saying I want your stuff. He's saying I want you. He's saying I'm not wanting to monopolize your time. I'm wanting you to use your time in a way that's going to be a greater benefit and a blessing to you. Does that make sense? And so whenever we start getting into this right perspective, this right headspace concerning our lives and what God has called us to and our relationship with God, we realize that whenever we are walking with Him and we are working the labors that He would have us to work, we are going to be much more productive, much more successful than if we say, God, you stay out of my business, I'm going to do it myself. Right? So we are partnering with God, and God is coming along, and He is a much better partner in this than what we are for ourselves. Everybody on board so far? We talked about taking the time to read God's Word and study God's Word and hear God's Word preached and proclaimed, right? In Joshua chapter number 1, anyone have any comments or questions so far? See, I give you something to do and then I ask you that. It's like, no, I'm busy. I'm flipping pages here. Okay, Joshua 1 and 8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. And then thou shalt have good success. What does he say? He says, study my word, know my word, live by my word, and your way is going to prosper. You're going to have good success. It's a great promise from God's word, right? So it's not, okay, I'm reading this because if I don't, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm reading this because it's profitable for me. I'm going to learn about God. I'm going to learn about life. I'm going to be able to have a better life because of it. In Jeremiah 33 and 3, we talked about prayer earlier. And in Jeremiah 33 and 3, it says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Once again, we see the prophet in prayer, right? Another place he says, you desire and you have not, right? You have not because you ask not. There are promises with prayer. So prayer isn't just a mere ritual. It's not just something that we're going through to check off the list. But it is a relationship. It's something that we are giving time and effort to in order to relate to God, and God blesses as a result. Okay. And so as we've seen all of these things, we are talking about practically giving. Okay? We're doing this in sight of the or in response, maybe I should say, to the fact that God is good, He loves us, He's trustworthy, He provides for us. He's wanting to work in our lives. He's wanting to work through our lives. And we have all these promises in His word that whenever we put His things first, that everything else is going to fall into place, that He's going to take care of us. And so whenever it comes to our time, yes, go work your job. Yes, go and provide for your family. But be reasonable about it and make sure that as you're doing that, you are putting God first, that you're seeking to live in a way that's pleasing Him. And as you're doing that, God is going to make the things that you're doing more fruitful. Okay? As you are going through your life, look for opportunities, look for ways, not obligations, look for opportunities. How can I give to God? What ways is there that I can show that God is worthy? What ways is there that I can give to His people and to His cause? What ways is there that I can grow in my walk with Him? And we are looking for ways that we can give. There is a desire, there is a hunger, there is a thirst for Him because of the love He has for us. He gives because of the love we have for Him. We are seeking to give. Okay? Going back to the example of a husband and wife, there's been several different things here lately in the relationship department. We've had Mother's Day. Les just had a birthday, right? There's different things that Les and I have had here just recently. And as a husband, I'm looking and saying, what can I do for my wife? Okay. You know, you've got all the different holidays. You've got all the special. I'm looking for ways that I can be a blessing to my wife. Why? Because it's expected of me. No, she's going to be mad at me if I don't. Maybe, but that's not why I'm doing it, right? But it's because I want to be a blessing to her. It's because I love her, and so that love makes me want to give. And whenever I give, it increases that relationship, right? It prospers. And so any investment that we're making in relationships is not a waste, and that carries on to our relationship with God. Whenever we are giving, He is going to give more generously to us than we ever do to Him. But that shows how we give. And then just finally, I guess, since I've kind of danced around the whole financial thing all along, right? We went a long ways on this. But just whenever it comes to the financial end of this, we find that our finances follow our heart. Where our treasure is, there our heart is. They go together. And so whenever we are... Good morning, guys. Good morning. So whenever we love God, we love the things of God, then our things are going to follow as well. And so we are able to give in order to keep the ministry going, to keep the gospel going out, to supply the needs of God's people, to supply the needs of God's work. But we're doing that as a result of our heart, our beliefs, our love for God, okay? And so we're seeing it as an opportunity. We're saying, how can I use what God has given me to get the gospel out? How can I use what God has given me in order to be a blessing to other believers? How can I take care of the things of God with the things that God has given me? And so you're looking at ways to do that. And it is extremely practical. But first and foremost, the Bible tells us that whenever we're giving, we need to be doing it willingly and doing it cheerfully. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, and we've looked at this already in this study. It says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. In all of these things that we've been looking at, in all the different areas, in our time, our talents, our finances, everything, whenever we are giving to God, okay, it tells us here that we're not to do it grudgingly, that it's supposed to be as our heart purposes, as God gives us a desire, okay? Not grudgingly, not out of necessity. It's not, I have to do this or else. See the pressure there? Not grudgingly, not of necessity, but do it willingly as we purpose in our heart. And it says, God loveth a cheerful giver. And so whenever we are gladly, cheerfully giving of our time, of our talents, of our finances, of all these things, whenever we are giving these to God, then God loves that. Because back to the thing of relationship, right? Your heart and your giving go hand in hand. Whenever you're doing that, whenever you're saying, I want to give to the things of God, I want to be a blessing to others, I want to do these things, then God says, I have their heart. I have them. They love the things that I love. And He says, I love that. God loves a cheerful giver. I think we can take that the opposite way. God doesn't like a grudging giver. I brought up a few weeks back where He told the people of Israel that they were just going through the motions, that they were doing it, but their heart was far from Him. And He said basically their sacrifices, their offerings was a stench to Him because of the ways in which they were giving them. And so this comes down to our relationship with God, evaluating our relationship with God. Does God have me? Does He have my heart? Do I have a desire to serve Him, to live for Him? Do I have a desire to be used of Him? And if you have that desire, then start looking for ways. And I believe that it even starts out small. In Malachi, it tells us, I don't have the reference written down, but it says for us to try Him. Put Him to the test. Okay? And so as we start giving, even in a small amount, And by the way, I want to keep putting this disclaimer. Don't think of this in monetary terms. That's included in there, but don't just think of monetary terms. When we start giving back to him, start giving a little bit of time. Start saying, I'm going to spend time with him in prayer. And carve out a little bit of time and prioritize that. And before you know it, that time becomes more and more valuable to you. And you start spending more and more time with him. And it becomes more and more rich and rewarding as you're doing that with the right heart. And you see it grow. Your Bible reading is going to become more fruitful whenever you're looking at it as a relationship. I want to learn about him. I want to grow in him. I'm not doing it out of duty or obligation, but I'm doing it out of love, seeking after him. I'm giving to him, and he starts giving back to you, and it becomes more precious to you. As you even get into material things and finances, as you give a little to him, you realize that you are more blessed to give than to receive. You start realizing that God is taking care of your needs. You start realizing that you don't actually miss that and that God's actually supplying your needs, and you begin to give more. That's how it works. But try him. Put him to the test and say, I love you, Lord, and I struggle with this. I don't know. I feel like I'm just stretched thin. I don't have time, but I'm going to start making sure that I set aside time to be in your house, to be in your word, to be in prayer. And start prioritizing that because of who he is and wanting to be around him. And you'll see that becomes more precious to you. And you'll see that he rewards you for that. Whenever you start desiring and say, okay, God, I want to give to your work. I'm going to support the work of the church or the support missions or give to those who are in need. I want to do these things even though I don't have that much. God can supply your needs according to his riches and glory. But you start putting it to the test and saying, God, I believe, but help mine unbelief, right? And you start putting that to the test. And as we start giving of him, the more that we give, the more we're going to want to give. The more of us we give him, the more of us we're going to want to give him, because we can trust him with our lives. And so practically speaking, that's the way it works. And so to finish off today, I just want to say, just kind of in a way of testimony, okay? I said last week, I don't usually talk about myself. And I've always made it a kind of a principle not to use myself as an example because I don't want it to look like I'm lifting up myself, okay? But I also see in Scripture where it says that as a pastor, I am to be an example to the flock. And so I want to just kind of, by way of testimony, tell a little bit of my story. And several of you are a little bit newer to the church and maybe don't know our story, okay? So I want to give a little bit of my story and show how God takes care of us whenever we give of ourselves to him, okay? Because I'll tell you, I didn't start out as a pastor. I was raised in church, yes, but kind of nominally. And in my teenage years, the Lord began getting a hold of me. I was being pulled two different ways. It wasn't because of my parents, they weren't forcing me to or anything, but God was seeking me. He was trying to get my heart. I was saved whenever I was 12, but through my teenage years, I was being pulled in two different directions. And I could have went either way very easily, but the Lord was drawing on me. He was working on me. Whenever Les and I got married, we got married very young, and I believe that she is a gift of God that he gave me in order to help me to pursue after God. Because if I wouldn't have been married to her, I could have very easily went completely the other direction. But he blessed me with her, gave me a good wife. The man who finds a good woman has found a good thing. And I know I butchered the verse. You guys know what I'm talking about. But anyway, with that, whenever Les and I got together, we determined we wanted our relationship to please God. We wanted our lives to count for God. And so we were consistent in going to church. We were consistent in our relationship, our walk with him. And we were encouraging one another in our walk with God from a very young age. And so we went to church and we went and tried to take part. We had a desire to serve God. It wasn't that we were required to. It wasn't that we were forced to. It wasn't that we were made to. It wasn't that we were obligated to. We had a desire to give of ourselves to God. And so we went to church whenever the doors were open. We went there for Sunday school. We went there for preaching service. We went there for Bible study midweek. And we went there for any extra days that they were there. If there was a work day, if there was anything going on at church, we wanted to be there because we wanted to give ourselves, we wanted to be involved in the work that God was doing. Whenever we were at home, we were reading God's word. We were praying and we were doing these things. We wanted God's hand in our relationship. Whenever we were making decisions, when we were buying things, we were saying, I don't want to buy anything that's going to prevent me from serving the Lord. Whenever I went to buy a car, I said, I don't want to go so far in debt that I'm so restricted in my job that I'm not free to go and actually serve God. Whenever I went to we looked at several different houses and things. We were going to buy a house. And I said, if I buy this place, am I going to be so tied down to this mortgage that I'm not free to go wherever God would have me to go? And this was our perspective. This was our view of things. We wanted to pursue God first. And with that, there were several times that I tried to get jobs that I should have got, and God wouldn't let me have that job because it would have hindered me. There was a couple times that if I would have gotten the job that I was after, I would have had a good paycheck, but I wouldn't have been here today because I've been working for that paycheck there. Okay? You see how this works? And so God was closing those doors because my heart was to serve him. I was giving it myself to him, and he was taking care of me, and he was directing my steps. Okay, and so there were a couple times that we looked at houses. We went to the bank. We were going to buy this house, and no, they wouldn't give us any money for it. No reason why they shouldn't have, but if we would have been there, we would have been so tied down, we wouldn't have been here. God knew what was ahead. And so as we were going through all that, I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't a preacher. I was just going to church and serving. Whenever things were needing done around the church, pastor would come to me and he'd say, hey, I need someone to do this. Like, here I am. There's a Sunday school class that doesn't have a teacher. Okay, here I am. There's something that needs done. Okay, here I am. Because I wanted to serve. I wanted to be used of God. And because of that, God led me, directed me, gave greater responsibilities. With all of that, the financial component, we, from the very beginning, we gave of our finances to God. We began supporting missionaries. I told someone the other day, there is a couple of missionaries that my wife and I have supported for almost 20 years now, different mission works around the world. And that's something we started very early on. We've continued doing that. And God has blessed in our family. He is blessed in our life. He's blessed in our finances. He has taken care of us all along the way, not because we're good, not because we know what we're doing, but because in everything we are acknowledging him and he is directing our paths. And so whenever the time came, he began dealing with me about preaching. And I said, God, you got the wrong guy. I can't preach. I'm very shy. I can't be in front of people. And it came to the point in time where I said, okay, I wanted God to use me all along. And now I've told him no for almost a year on the one way he does want to use me. And I surrendered. And I said, okay, God, if you say so. And so I began preaching and God started guiding our steps. And finally, he ended up calling us to Ireland. And whenever he brought us to Ireland, we sold our house, got rid of that. We sold everything that we owned. We sold all that we had. Les had a business that was very successful. We shut it down, sold it out. We moved here because we were seeking God first. And God has clearly taken care of us. He has been good to us. And it's not because of the goodness that I have. It's not because of anything that I've done. But I have trusted him each step of the way. And so the reason I am telling you this is for the past several weeks, we've been talking about stewarding our lives. We've been talking about giving of ourselves to God, trusting him with our lives and allowing him to lead and guide us because he can take care of us better than what we can take care of ourselves. I said in the very beginning of this series that we've done, the study that we've done, that though I'm nervous about teaching on these things, I see that it is extremely necessary because if I didn't teach on it, then I would be doing you a disservice. Because I see what God does. I see how God blesses. I see how good he is to those who put their trust in him, not just for salvation, but for every step of our lives, because I've seen it in my own life. Very imperfectly, yes. Have I made every decision right? No, not by a long shot. Have I done everything always pleasing to him and always selflessly? No, not by a long shot. But though I have followed him so imperfectly, he has cared for me so lovingly. And so as I close this section of this study, I do so with this testimony that I have put God to the test. I have seen him at work in my life. I am a satisfied customer, if you will. I can vouch for you that your service to God and your trust for him is never going to be, never going to fail you. He'll never fail you. He's going to be good to you if you'll just put your life in his hand. Does it mean that there's not going to be hard times? No, there will be hard times. As I gave my testimony there, I didn't tell you the hard times. I didn't tell you the trials. Those were there. But God took me through all of those. And oftentimes, he had better things awaiting me that I didn't even realize. But God has taken care of me because I put my life in his hands. And I encourage you, put your life in his hands. Give of yourselves to God. Love him because he loves you. And let that love flow out of you in giving and serving. Don't make this transactional. Don't serve God just to get out of him. Don't do it just because you have to. Don't do it ritually. Don't do it out of obligation. But do it out of love because of who he is. So does anyone have any questions or comments on what we've looked at today? Nothing at all? I'll tell you, there's several here that haven't been here for parts of this study that we've done. I encourage you to go online and to catch up on those, if you will, if you're interested in these things. Just because I do believe it's helpful. Not because I'm teaching it, it's because it's Bible. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Thank you for your blessings. And we thank you so much for the day that you've given us. Thank you for this time that we've spent looking at these principles of how we give to you because of your love to us, because of how you've given to us. Lord, we know that you are worthy of our trust, of our faith, Lord, that you take care of us far greater than we can ourselves, Lord. And help us, Lord, to see our Christian life through that, Lord. Help us to be willing to surrender, to be able to put our lives in your hands, Lord, knowing that you can take care of us far better than we can ourselves. And Lord, I just thank you for the promises of your word, the principles, the examples in your scriptures, Lord. Just be with your people now, Lord. Do the needed work in their hearts and lives, Lord. And all these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.